Tip FM's Tip Today with Fran Curry.
In association with Slattery's of Pecan, Tipperary's main Peugeot dealer. Slattery's Garage Pecan, the name you can trust for over 50 years in the Premier County. Slattery'sGarage.ie.
How students learn about sex is currently being overhauled following a major review that heard many different views on how young people should be educated about things like consent, contraception and indeed pornography. Joining me now is a midwife, former MEP and regular contributor to our programme, Phil Prendergast. Good morning to you, Phil.
Good morning, Fran.
Good to talk to you today. Phil, if memory serves me correct, you were involved in producing some sex education modules at one stage, were you not?
Yeah, Fran, I did it in various schools around the county and indeed beyond for about 22, 23 years. So I used to go to the schools, not very often now, usually to cover, maybe take up a half day and just, discuss all the various changes, depending on the class. And generally speaking, when I used to go on particular school in Kilkenny, I used to do from first years up to the fifth years, and I used to go in advance and take any questions they might have, which gave me a steer for what might interest them. But obviously, when you're in a classroom like that, what I used to do then was collect the questions and then mix them in with questions from another school to try and anonymise in case somebody thought, well, if I'm wondering about my sexuality or my orientation, I'm not going to actually be able to ask this question because I shall blush or I shall this or I shall that. So I used to try and make it in a way that wouldn't identify people that might have specific questions. And I used to also stay back for a little while afterwards to answer any specific questions that someone might have. But look, it was less than ideal, but at least it was very out there. And I spoke from the perspective of, meeting people in the hospital, having babies that they certainly hadn't intended to have while they were still school going. And talking about the whole area around consent, having sexual intercourse, taking care not to get pregnant if that's what they didn't want. And also about the whole idea about, sexually transmitted infections and where they might go for help. Different platforms where they could assess proper and good information. One of the biggest things I found in feedbacks was that a lot of young people were assessing information on unsecured websites, which of course could lead them into very graphic and very horrible pictures. So it was really about trying to cover sort of subjects in a non-judgmental way. And also take account of the many different various religious ethos within a school where it used to be only a strictly Catholic school that no longer applies now.
And how did you do that, Phil? Because that to me seems to be the big issue here, to take all of that into account. I mean, how do you do something that manages not to be offensive depending on what school you're in, for example?
Well, you see, the thing about it, sexual education is sexual education. And if you have some graphic things, like I did have had a toolkit, pardon the expression.
Yeah.
And I used to demonstrate how condoms should be put on and taken off on this. But, I mean, I had to have it coloured blue because it was quite possible to, with modern photography and wizardry with phones, etc., you could be looked like you were doing something entirely different if you were demonstrations of things.
Right.
And I had to be very aware of that.
Yes.
I had to be very aware that not everybody was very interested, and there were some people acutely embarrassed, and there were others that were quite, okay with the whole thing. What we had to do was get consent of parents that they could attend the class, because there would be people of certain persuasions or religions that would not be happy for their child to be spoken about what might sometimes be decided that's too graphic for us. Whereas what I was trying to do is to keep it as I suppose the wrong word is sanitized, but it's the word that fits for now. Because so you had to be extremely careful that it didn't descend into vulgarity, and that it also remained a subject and a focus that, people could talk to you about. And when you got what changed for me and why I decided that the time was up, probably because I was getting too old anyway, but apart from that, was it was no longer okay for me to go in, even though I was guard vetted, to go into the different schools. It was no longer okay for me to go into the classroom and talk to the students without the teachers being present. And when that happened, it was very, very dramatic. The first day I went into a school down in the south of the county, and that teachers were present, there was no further interaction by the students with me. There was no question.
Different dynamic altogether, Phil.
Completely. It changed the whole dynamic. There was no interaction. There was no, there was no to-ing and fro-ing. And even though the teachers were trying to disassociate themselves and being in the classroom, it really did have a very great impact. And I went maybe about five more times after that, and it was the same. They completely shut up. They were not going to talk in front of their teachers. But I'm not dissing teachers that now actually do this as part of their programme. But I still saw the difficulty that if I was teaching maths to a crowd of students, which could never happen, by the way, I got F in CAS maths. But if I was teaching, let's say, English to students, and then the next thing I was going to be talking about periods and masturbation and pregnancies and sexually transmitted infections and where to go, how to deal with and how to talk to your parents in the first instance. Like, it was very hard to transition from being, say, the English teacher or the maths teacher to being the SPHE teacher. So, look, it's not perfect, the system we have, but as long as parents would talk to their young people about their bodies, and as from a young age that they talk to children about the proper names for the different body parts, and try to be, a little bit, to deal with the moral side of it, to deal with the physical side of it. But really, there's a huge emotional side to all of that, and the hormones and the changing of hormones and the onset of puberty and all that. So, look,
I was going to ask you about that, Phil, the moral side of it. I mean, you can go through all sort of, if you forgive my use of the word, the mechanical end of it and all of that, and all that is fine. But the moral aspect of it, I mean, how did you deal with that in terms of, just to give the proper information under a certain umbrella of morality and doing what's best for you?
So you have to say, if something feels right, generally speaking, it won't be too bad. If something doesn't sit right with you, and somebody, if your partner or whatever, wants to progress the relationship beyond the boundaries that you have set, if it doesn't feel right, don't do it. If it does feel right, make sure that you're going to be protected. But for most people, moralising about, you can't do that until you're married. I mean, you just can't do that now. You just can't assume there's just two sexes. You can't assume that people know what might be wrong or what might not be wrong. I think when I was doing the foundation programme in sexual health promotion, one of the biggest shocks I got, I suppose, was when a Garda sergeant, a lady from Waterford, an absolutely excellent contributor, said that if a boy, and I'm sure now it applies to girls or transgender or whatever, it does anything inappropriate, it is considered a sexual offence. And they can get a record from that. So I was like, I was stunned, and I was doing classes for many, many years up to this point. And I'd never heard it from that. If a boy puts his hand anywhere near the genitals without the consent or assumes the consent, that actually, if the girl decides to go to her parents and say, look, this is what was done to me, that is technically a sexual assault. So that was a new one on me, because I just thought, you know what, young lads and young girls can really get into trouble with this whole thing. And I think the most important thing is to have a chat with your parents about any evolving issues or developing issues. And you'll have to get over the embarrassment of that, because your parents are your parents, and they're probably best placed to give the best advice. And also people that have different ethos, religious ethos, than, say, the Catholic ethos, that they have an understanding and a respect for their cultural beliefs. But some of the cultural beliefs that exist in some religions, I would be abhorred by. But that's, you know, it's to not have judgment about the different cultures that exist, yeah, and try to coexist within.
To get around all of that, I mean, Flourish was just released last week, a new program to be used in the Catholic primary schools, for example. And, you know, as you might expect there, for it being a Catholic publication, I mean, it sets out sex, for instance, Phil, as a, you know, a gift from God, marriage between a man and a woman, all of these things. It's very hard to get around that then with other factual information.
I don't think it's that hard to get around it now, because it was developed by the Irish Bishops' Conference.
Yes.
And like a gift from God, it's like what people do with their bodies at any time in their life is meant to be their mutual benefit. And you can have whatever beliefs you want, and you can believe in God and the Lord. You can believe in everything like that. But people as well have a moral compass, and they're comfortable with certain things and they're not comfortable with others. And I suppose when you're trying to give sexual relationship advice or information, you have to try and be non-judgmental as possible, because I mean, I would have met varied groups within schools, and some would be it would be very obvious that they knew a lot more than me, and there would be others that would be really, really innocent and very young for their age, sitting in the same classroom. So you could have very developed, say in girls' schools, you could have young ones that were very, very developed and young ones that weren't developed at all. But whether it was physical or mental or psychological development, it was, you know.
Yeah, my only problem with it is if it adds to a young person's confusion. I mean, you know, like where the Catholic Church is teaching in relation to marriage between a man and a woman, for example, and still, you know, same-sex marriage is now allowed in this country. So there's a confusion there for young kids in some cases as well.
Well, this is where parents come in, because there are same-sex parents now within families. They're also, and who have children. They're also children who may have been born one sex and they have transgendered to another sex. So it's not as if this isn't out there and becoming part of the narrative now in terms of how you speak to people and how information is given to them. So you have to take account of, I suppose, you know, there would be some kids that wouldn't be able for too much information in a classroom setting, that they might require a smaller group of people, but in a safe environment. And the only way you can have a safe environment, really, you can't do one-to-one with students anymore, because that's not safe for either person.
One of our listeners onto us, Phil, saying, I think Phil should be reinforcing moral conduct for young people. And it goes on to say, yes, you can. So that's subjective, isn't it? What is moral conduct?
Yeah, but for most people, if something feels right, or if something doesn't feel right, they need to go with their gut instinct. But if something worries a young person in relation to advancing, say, sexual behaviour and something that they're not happy with the pace of it, they need to talk to somebody. And they can talk to teachers. There are really, really, really excellent teachers and career guidance teachers and various other names now that they have in schools as well. So, I mean, nobody needs to fret and worry on their own. There's often they provide counselling services. There's also they can contact any number of groups in relation to getting help and belong to as far as the gay and lesbian or Glenn, the Gay and Lesbian Equality Network. There's the belong to is supporting lesbian, gay and bisexual and transgender young people in Ireland, and there's all the details about that. Parent Line is another for parents, the National Parents Council, the Irish Family Planning Association in relation to getting, you know, information around that. Sexual health services, there's STI clinics in Carlow, there's in Kilkenny, there's in Clonmel, they're in Waterford, they're in Cork, they're in Limerick, they're all over the country. I'm just thinking about the local to here. So there's lots of information out there, and there is a particular need, I think, for parents to have some responsibility for, you know, making sure that their young people are, you know, given the proper information.
Yes, and what I was delighted with about the review carried out by the National Council for Curriculum and Assessment was that students are being heard as well. The voice of students are being heard on this.
Which is really important, Fran, because for a long time they were sort of expected to be taught to and not really talk back to in the class. Whereas the way I used to do it was have an open forum where they could, you know, you're doing. I used to tell them these are a set of questions from another school, same age, same class. And I mix them both up so that your question may not get answered today because it may be from the other school.
Yeah.
But nobody will know what school they're from. So that was just an attempt. And I used to do that, actually. It really was something I did because there would be somebody that might really want to know something and they couldn't. And there was many of the persons because when I stay back, I say, you can stay back and you can ask me about midwifery or about the nurse if you're interested in that anything, because they used to be really interested in the baby stories, you know.
Yes.
And particularly the concealed pregnancies, they used to think, oh my God, how could this happen? But anyway, so then again, they could be coming in to talk to you about a career in midwifery or nursing, or they could come in to talk about, listen, you said that in class, this has happened to me. You know,
yeah.
So
it seems like what you were doing all that time ago is the right way to go about this, because it's unfair to expect a teacher, as you say, whose discipline is, you know, English or maths, to all of a sudden become an expert in what is a very difficult subject.
It's also very personal to people's upbringing. You know, I can remember, friend, I think we discussed this before. My mother used to say, you know, oh, well, if you burn your arse, you'll have to sit in the blister. And I used to be thinking, what is she actually talking about? And we didn't have the saying, what planet is she on back then?
Yes.
There was no other planets except Earth.
Right.
But
but if you made your bed, you lie in it, is basically what she was saying, I suppose. Yeah.
Absolutely, you know, but and that was, you know, and I can remember when my body started changing and I went to her, she says, you need to go talk to your sister. who knew
your
everything?
Poor sister.
Because she was 10 months and 30 days older than me.
All that experience older than you, it's amazing.
All that experience, yeah. So the training was the training, yeah. And the information was the information. But look, it's very difficult. It's a difficult subject, but it shouldn't be. But because there's so much misinformation and a real danger when somebody puts in a question, that it can bring you to really, really bad sites and really, really very, very violent sexual imagery and very, very debasing positions and very, very debasing behaviours, and trying to normalise that when it's simply not normal. And in terms of the lady or person who rang in there about the moral compass, everybody has a moral compass and what will be right for them. But sometimes there can be a lot of pressure exerted on either side, and it can lead to real problems and real sort of worries and stresses for young people. So they need to have, and they usually have schools that really have very good counselling services. So I think they probably have the best of all worlds now, because, you know, consent has to be given for everything, including talking in schools, and you have to be guarded about it. You have to make sure your information is as balanced and as non-judgmental as possible. And you need to be able to give fair and good advice, and not moralise in the class. You just can't do it.
All right, Phil.
You can't do it.
Phil, it's always a pleasure. Thank you so much for your time, Phil. Thank you.
Absolutely great to talk to you, Fran. Take care.
You too, Phil. Bye-bye to you now. That's Phil Prendergast there, midwife, nurse, former MEP lady with huge amount of experience in our schools as well. That's very interesting, isn't it? 1800-938-007. The text and WhatsApp 083-311-3311. A lot coming into us on that.
Tip FM's Tip Today with Fran Curry.
In association with Slattery's of Pecan, Tipperary's main Peugeot dealer. Slattery's Garage Pecan, the name you can trust for over 50 years in the Premier County. Slattery'sGarage.ie.